It is so good to be back after our long journey to visit our family and to be with them. But we really missed you. And it's good to see your faces today as we come to worship our Lord and Savior and to sing hymns like the last one. Be saved to sin no more. Can you imagine? That's what awaits us. That's what we need to believe and what we need to think about. Every day, the gospel, and live in Christ by faith. Now, I want to ask you to turn back to Isaiah 40, which is our call to worship, and I want to point out a couple of verses. And this message is not going to be a full exposition of these verses. I wish it could, but it'd take too long. So I'm going to work on one word. It's the word wait. Verse 28 and through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord, or wait upon the Lord, will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that he brings to live day after day after day with strength. But only to those who wait upon the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time again, and we're closing the day together. One in Christ, bound by the same Spirit, saved by the same blood, having the same future. So we ask that you would help us to set our minds on things above where Christ is, and to live below in his words, in his will. That in seeking each of us to be faithful to you, O Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would enable us to bless each other around us, to see another Christian, to see another Christian who prays, another Christian who reads your word, another Christian who loves sinners and loves the saints, who sings with the heart, who prays, who listens to the word of God, who rejoices in the truth, for it strengthens us, O Lord, and we thank you for that. So help us to understand this word today and what it means through the scripture, and to wait upon you as we should. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Being away so long from you, we were blessed to be able to live in the mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountain area, for about 6 weeks or 2 months. I can't remember. We've been gone so long. To sit on Joanna's porch, surrounded by beautiful trees and colors, noisy woodpeckers, hawks flying over, stars that could be seen, hearing no sound of car or truck, being able to think without distractions except those that I have of my own, to think about what's important, to look back on our life and ministry, to enjoy the creation that God has made and upholds every leaf by his power, every blade of grass, every hawk in the sky, every star he knows by name because he gave them names, and to think that such a one would care for someone like me and Debbie and our family is overwhelming. And so thinking these great thoughts of God, the witness of God through his word, through his creation, that he lets us see his power, constantly witnessing to us every day by everything that has been made and by the words that he has given through inspiration in the scripture. We're reminded to believe that Jesus Christ was crucified a long time ago with continuing effect upon the souls of those who call upon his name, everyone. And his resurrection from the dead, by which this one withholds in his hand, still upholds all creation by the word of his power. It's amazing. And he calls us to have faith in him, to believe these things, and to live as if we believe these things, and to think about these things. Because we've entered a new kingdom, the kingdom of light, and we live there now. No longer in the kingdom of darkness, through the work of Christ for the soul. I also read a lot and prayed for you, especially reading in the Psalms and the Gospel of Matthew over and over. And there's a word that kept coming to my attention in the Psalms. It's also throughout all the scripture, and it's the word wait. I've often struggled with the word wait, to wait upon the Lord, especially when you're going through trials and you do not see the end of them. How do you wait for God? How do you wait upon the Lord? What are you waiting for? And how do you wait? And sometimes that's a confusing thing to a Christian. Does that mean you just sit and do nothing but pray? Does it mean that you quit doing other things and you just wait for God to do something? That you're no longer as active as you used to be, but you're giving yourself to prayer and meditation and you're sitting and waiting. You try not to act, try not to speak, but just to wait upon the Lord. Just wait for God to answer your prayers, to heal your body, to deliver you from your enemy. That is, are you just to be passive as a Christian? Is that what waiting upon the Lord means? And the answer of the Bible is absolutely not. It is a verb. You have to do something to wait. It's an active verb and sometimes a command, an imperative to wait upon the Lord. when you study the Bible and look at the places where God uses and inspires the word wait, and there's two or three of those words in the Bible, what you find is that waiting is much broader than being passive and just kind of doing your things and waiting for God to do something. The International Standard Bible Dictionary or Encyclopedia summarizes four major uses of the word wait in the Bible. And I looked up a number of commentaries on the word wait while I was away and just looking at it, studying it, thinking about it. And I didn't find as much help as I did in this article from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which is free online, by the way. A very good Bible dictionary. And it mentioned four uses of the word wait in the Bible, and there are others as well. But I wanted to use their outline of the kinds of things that waiting is and narrate those to you this afternoon. The first use of the word wait that they mentioned was that it's often used of those who wait to attack others. In other words, to wait in order to destroy an enemy. This is not a passive lying around waiting for your enemy to pass by and take the opportunity. This is an active plan to seek out your enemy to destroy them, to lie in wait. If necessary, to lie all night long and wait all night long for the opportune moment to keep alert, to watch in order to destroy your enemy. And of course, the wicked seek to destroy the righteous, and they wait all night to catch them when they can. And that's a doctrine in the Bible. But even righteous armies under God would lie in wait in the field to attack their enemies, to attack a city or an army. They were quiet and focused. They were thinking about, do I have the armor on? Do I have my sword in place? Have I eaten something that I can have strength? I need to quit falling asleep here. I need to pinch myself or do something to stay awake for the moment when I have to arise and attack. This waiting is intense. Those of you who have been in the service, if you've had to wait on in maneuvers and so forth, if you've had to wait on an enemy to show their face or stand sentry all night long in a foxhole, waiting for others to creep up upon you and others, you know that it's an intensive experience. It's something where all your senses have to be alert, and when your eyelids start to fall, you have to wake yourself up and pay attention lest you die. So there's a kind of a negative idea of waiting in the sense of one who is wicked attacking others. But even then, the idea is it's not passive, it's active. It's an active waiting. You're doing something while you're waiting. Have you ever sinfully waited on another? Keeping your eye on someone. Waiting for the right moment to hurt them as much as they've hurt you with words and actions. Someone has offended you, so you keep your eye on them. When they walk in the room, you know where they are. And the sad thing about that kind of waiting for revenge or waiting for criticism or to justify that you're right and they're wrong, the more you look at them and wait on them and pay attention to them, the more you become like them. You take up their way of thinking, which is to harm. Wait is active even if it's evil. Have you done that to other people? The enemies of Jesus were always waiting. They were waiting for the moment to arrest him. And you read through the Gospels, and there are so many times that they decided they're going to arrest him and kill him long before the cross. And yet, something would happen to stop that, and they'd have to keep waiting, looking at him, knowing where he is, what is he doing, looking for the right opportunity to pounce like a lion waits for its prey, says the scripture, in order to pounce upon it, actively like a lion, tense, looking at the prey, watching its every move, trying to judge, what is it going to do? When is it going to do it? Is it going to run? Is it going to lay down? And that lion waits for the right moment with tense muscles looking until they pounce. Waiting is active. It is not passive. Jesus' enemies waited for him, but they could not attack him until it was God's hour. He kept telling his disciples, "My hour is not yet come." And then he said, "My hour has come." Because God determines the hours. But they waited upon him. They tried to find false witnesses. They paid people to say false things. They bribed the soldiers at the grave who were there when he rose to say his disciples stole the body. But we are to love our enemy, pray for them. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them to drink, to do good to those who despitefully use us, to overcome evil with good. But if you do those kind of sinful things of waiting to do something or to get revenge or to let them, even just to sit back and let their consequences come to them and show them the truth and that you were right all along, you have sinned in your waiting. There's another kind of waiting that we need to be doing. So sinful waiting is active, thinking wrongly, forgetting that God has forgiven you more than any earthly enemy has sinned against you. And instead of doing evil, to do good. That's a kind of waiting. Another kind they mentioned in the encyclopedia was mentioning, using scripture all the way through, is the second kind of waiting is the active serving of others. That's waiting. The priest in the temple of God waited upon God in their duties. Numbers 8:20 says, "This it is that belongs to the Levites from 25 years older and older. They shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." To wait upon God means to serve him actively. To do what is right and what he has commanded us to do. So the idea of being passive and waiting is actually used in the scripture to commend active serving instead. So when we see wait upon the Lord, we're not talking about doing nothing and waiting on Him to do something. We're talking about actually continuing our service to Him, to trust in Him, to do what He wishes in His time. The servants in the Old Testament, the slaves, servants, were to wait upon their master. And Psalm 123:2 says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden upon the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He has mercy upon us." So in the service of a household or over a palace or whatever, there's the masters and the servants. And the servants' idea is to wait upon their masters. And it doesn't just mean to carry food to them. It means to look at them, to notice where they are in the room or in the house, to notice what they're needing. They look at their hand for the mistress to say, "Go over there," to bring more food. They look upon the hand of their master so that they will know what to do, and they keep their eye upon the master. Whether they're cooking or cleaning or serving at the banquet, that idea of waiting upon the master is what we're talking about when it says wait upon the Lord. To look to Him. Jesus taught in Luke 12:36, "Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks." Even when they cannot see him, they are thinking about him. And they're thinking about what he's doing and what he wants them to do in his physical absence, so that everything is in order when he comes to the door from the wedding feast. This serving attitude is what waiting is. We look to the Lord. We notice what He says. We learn and try to remember what He has said, and then to do it with an eye on Him. And that's simple living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've entered a household where He is the master. And our eye is to be upon His hand, and our ear is to be upon His words above any distractions that surround us. Even any health problems that we endure or persecution that may come our way, we look to the master of the household and wait in looking to Him and obeying Him. The idea of waiting upon God is active, not passive. It means to actively be alert, to serve man, to always be thinking about our responsibilities. We are now sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. And we're to conduct ourselves and think about living in this world now, not of this kingdom of the world, but of the kingdom of God. We're citizens of that kingdom. It is our home. It is our future. It is everything. He is everything. And so while we live in this world, with the various trials that come, the opposition that comes, the persecution that comes, we wait upon God. We set our minds on things above where Christ is. Do you actively wait that way during the day? Wait upon Christ. Wait upon the Father. Wait upon the Holy Spirit. Keeping your eye there. Keeping your thoughts there above every other thought that you have to think in order to live in this world. To first think of God, of what He's done for you. Waiting upon God means to live by faith, with our thoughts upon Him, remembering His gracious promises, and to actively do what He's commanded us to do. Is that how you think and live through the day? The idea of waiting, to be alert, to be active, to be doing what God is doing for us. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We can never let the things we see overcome the faith in God that we have. Diminish it, undermine it. We look to a risen Christ. We look to a future kingdom of glory and perfection. There's no perfection now. There's no one perfect now. We look to Christ who is perfect. We look to a life that is not perfect now, but will be one day. It will be perfect. We look to a day when we will never have to deal with evil thoughts or anger or bitterness or bad attitudes or bad words. We will never be able to sin again, but only to love, only to love one another in a way that none of us have ever been loved on earth before. That's our future. That's our hope. We wait for that, and it affects the way we act now. We don't make mountains out of molehills. We don't think that someone has so sinned against us we could never forgive them. Because God has forgiven more sin of our own than any individual ever could in a lifetime sin against us. And calls us to love as we have been loved, to forgive as we have been forgiven, and to serve as we have been served by our God. That we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again on our behalf. That means every purpose of our life is to serve Him, to live for Him. There's never a moment in the Christian life where we can say, "I'm just taking a break from God and all this Christian stuff, and I can't help it. That's what I'm going to do." Because God is perfect in His love, in His judgment of sin, and He's absolutely perfect in His mercy and grace to sinners in Christ. And calls us to believe that every day and to serve Him. Because God Himself, thirdly, is a waiting God. Have you ever thought about that? I'm quoting from the ISBE. "The simple verb is used to describe the long-suffering and patience of God toward His willful people. And therefore will Yahweh wait that He might be gracious unto you." Isaiah 30:18. When the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, 1 Peter 3:20, think how much sin God has put up with in this world to save His people from their sins. One of my great struggles, and Debbie's too, and most Christians, is, my goodness, it seems there's more sin in the world than righteousness. It seems like everything is sin. It seems like evil is everywhere. that the best of men are men at best. And it just seems like God is not winning. And it's discouraging, and it takes away our strength and motive sometimes from being faithful, being obedient. But our God is a waiting God. Doubters sometimes say, if God is real and good, why has he put up with so much evil and sin in the world? Why did he let my child die? Why did he let my spouse die? Why is it so hard financially now? Why did I lose my job? Why couldn't I get a better job? Why? And sin, which has infected absolutely everything in this world, keeps telling us there is nothing perfect in this world to depend upon but God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and causes all things to work together to good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, because he's a waiting God. Why did he let sin reign so strongly in this fallen world? And the answer is that God is a waiting God. He is patient and merciful to let sinners live and live according to their own choices. He is just to allow the curse of sin from Adam and Eve and our own attachment to them to let the curse of sin spread and invade everything in the world. And yet, he has limited even the spread of sin and death and darkness from what it could have been, because he's good. Because he wants people to live so that they may find him. That he has a plan to save his people from their sins, and he will not destroy this world till the last soul is saved. So Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, do not worry about wars and rumors of wars and all these things that are happening in the world. But the gospel must be preached first in all the world, and then the end will come. God is a waiting God, overcoming evil with good, and in the process of waiting for the consummation of all things in Christ's return, he is still working in human hearts like yours and mine and Bree's and others, saying, there is evil in this world, and it testifies to the fact that there is a good God in this world. That's why you know it's evil. And that he has sent his son into this world to save people like you from their sins. He has sent the Holy Spirit in your heart to awaken you from spiritual deadness so that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ could enter in and open your heart to respond to the things of the gospel. God is saving his people from their sins, and that's why the world is going on right now. That's the only reason. God is building his kingdom in this world through sinners saved by grace and changed from bloody human nature to a loving, God-like, Christ-like nature to bring him glory. And that's the whole thing. That's what everything's about. Because God is a waiting God. The active waiting of God for our good enables us to actively wait upon the final adoptionist sons, the resurrection of our body, the coming of Christ, the destruction of all evil, the judgment of all men, the mercy upon all that call upon his name, and the eternal life that follows with him. These things are true. They are as real as us sitting on this pew and as real as Christ rising from the dead, and they will happen, and we're to believe that and wait. Wait upon that, and in the process, be faithful to love God, to love our neighbor, to love God, one another in the body of Christ. We're to be active in our waiting because God is active in his waiting. And finally, to close, there's a fourth kind of waiting that the ISBE says, and I'm just going to read that quote, a few sentences. The most important and frequent use of the word wait, however, is to define the attitude of a soul Godward. It implies the listening ear, a heart responsive to the wooing of God, a concentration of the spiritual faculties upon heavenly things, the patience of faith, the earnest expectation of creation, Romans 8:9. It describes an eager anticipation and yearning for the revelation of truth and love as it is in the Father. Thus my soul, Psalm 69:5, thus my soul, wait thou for God only. Psalm 33:20. Our soul hath waited for Yahweh. Psalm 69:3, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Proverbs 20:22, wait for Yahweh, and he will save you. This waiting of the soul upon God is simply a living, continual faith that God is all that he said he is, that all of his attributes are true and absolute, and in absolute agreement with all his other attributes together. That he cannot sin, he cannot do wrong, he cannot plan wrong, he cannot manage wrongly his creation and the sinners that are in it. It means that he himself has accomplished the only way of salvation for those who have rebelled against him and been unwilling to submit to him through the cross of Jesus, his Son, raising him from the dead to show us this is true life. This is abundant life. This is life with God. This is life with God for us. This is a future that he has established and written in blood that you will experience. And therefore, this is the world you now live in. Think about and seek to live in the way that God has commanded you to live while the other world is dying and ends up in hell. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon God only. This word wait is also used to indicate seeking and guarding in the New Testament. It's the word that's used in the King James, the watchers did wait at the tomb. They watched, they waited at the tomb. It is the word that tells us to be active, to look to Christ, to remember his words. That is, study his words and seek to remember them. When you come across a word of Christ or the apostles or the Psalms in the Old Testament that speaks to your particular need, like rejoice in all things, rejoice all the time, rejoice always. When you're not rejoicing, You remember the words of Jesus and you think about, what do I have to rejoice about today with the way people are treating me and the way my job's going and the way my health is? You have a God who calls you to wait and believe and live faithfully until he comes. Do you wait for God like this? None of us do it perfectly. We have to repent daily of thoughtlessness and forgetfulness and unbelief sometimes and doubting and fear and worry and anger. And we still have to repent of our sin and look to Christ and his blood to forgive us. But we can. We can do that because he said so. We can wait upon him and his words of grace and believe in them and live in communion with a perfect God as imperfect sinners saved by grace. We can wait. The good news is there's forgiveness of sin for those that are not waiting well through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's acceptance by grace. There is provision, protection, and strength and patience given by God to imperfect Christians. Till he makes all things new, and we're to believe that and wait upon God in our minds and desires and choices all the time. And if we will do that, if we will wait upon God, not perfectly, none of us can, but seek to, strive to, wait, to set our minds upon, to think of, to be ready to serve, ready to forgive, ready to worship our God, there's a promise. And the promise is this. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, neither grows weary, and his understanding is perfect. He gives power to the weak and faint, and to them who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths faint and are weary, and the young man shall stumble badly. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait actively upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is the promise to those who faithfully and actively wait upon the Lord. May it be so with you and me as we continue to live in his universe, in his world, adopted, chosen, protected, provided for an eternal kingdom where we will no longer have to wait, but live in his presence forever. Just believe the truth and wait upon the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us of our sins, our impatience, our complaining, holding grudges, being thoughtless, refusing to discipline ourselves in our time and our lives for the purpose of godliness. All these things stand before us, Lord. But we want to wait on you. We want to live in you because you have waited for us. So forgive us, oh, we pray, of each time that we take our minds off things above where Christ is, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and restore to us the joy of our salvation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.